So it's definitely a privilege for me to be here. Thank you to Steve for allowing me this opportunity. I really like to do this, and it's really a lot of fun to be able to present God's word to a group of people who actually want to hear it. Sometimes we're endeavored to present the word to people who don't really want to hear it, right? And that's fun, too. But this is a great opportunity for me and a privilege. You know, I was thinking a lot about, you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I was thinking a lot about the stuff that Dean shared, and actually I think about that stuff a lot in life, do you? You know, all that God's done for us, how awesome he is, how kind he is, how loving he is, compassionate, understanding, all the great realities of the way that God has embraced us to care for us. And there's just such a little bit that we could do to give back to God, and one of those things that we could do is to serve people the bread of life, God's word. The thing that's made an impact in your life is God's word. And so when we speak God's word to other people, we're thinking that we're going to make an impact in their life as well. Sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. That's okay because we make that effort, right? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I was thinking about Dean teaching, how thankful we are in the season of the holiday, and how Thanksgiving is really a feast of harvest, if you know that. I looked it up, so that's right. That's correct. But so it's kind of a feast of harvest, but we're God's harvest. And that's kind of cool, right? That we are the fruit of what God's designed for us to be able to live and enjoy. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, oops, I'm in Romans, and that's not going to work. But there is a 1 Corinthians in this Bible. And in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We're laborers together with God. And today, it's my privilege to share on service. And service is something that we can do. We can choose to or not. And that's okay. If you choose not to, it's okay. Because all that Dean shared is still true. God loves you. He cares about you. He wants the very best for you. He's designed eternal life for you. All the great verities that Dean has discussed, they're all true. But this is something that we could do, serve. So today I wanted to talk about the attitude of service. You know, I get that from the football teams. You know, what did I say? The Purdue University or the Southern whatever. This is the attitude of service. This is where we want to be with God's word in light of service. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. I have to write this down because as I'm teaching, I forget what time I started. Proverbs chapter 4. Psalms, Proverbs. Who's got Proverbs 4 and can read verse 23, please? Will, thank you. That's your name? Yes, thank you. 4:23.
Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Yeah, this service thing is a heart thing. It's something that you choose to do because of what God has done for you. You say, yeah. Here am I, send me. Let me do this thing. I could do this. I could handle this. I'm not good at a whole lot of things, but in what God has made me capable of, I'm good at. Because it's God's capability. So today it's going to be, for a little while, the attitude of service, okay? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You know, this is a mind. You ever see that commercial, the mind is a terrible thing to waste? So our privilege as believers is to take this mind and set our heart and fix it to the things of God. And service is critical to the continuance of God's word. And it's our privilege, really, to know the word that way that we do and have the awesome opportunity to allow others to have a little piece of that pie, right? And then they could take it and bring it wherever they want. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You know, and all this stuff that you're going to hear from me today, you've heard it a million times, but you know what? It's the repetition that helps us to learn, isn't it? We keep hearing, just like the commercials on TV, right? You hear the same ones over and over, and then you go buy the products. So here's the product. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, or lovingly implore you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you know, and think about what you deserve in accordance with what Dean shared with what we have. That's mercy. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Jesus Christ took care of the other part, thank God. We don't have to lay down our life for God, do we? All we have to do is present it a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is reasonable. It's reasonable for God to request that of us after all he's done, after the stuff that Dean has shared about who we are and what we have. It's reasonable for God to ask us to serve in the church, right? Look at Matthew chapter 5. Someone once said, it's your attitude towards God's word that determines your spirituality, right? That's what we want to do, is we want to prepare and develop the proper attitude so that we can go to the word and go to the masses with the great reality of who we are in Christ. It's your attitude towards the word that determines your spirituality. Today, it's your attitude of service. You know, attitude is a funny thing, right? We all have attitudes, don't we? We won't get into all of them because most of them, or sometimes, they're not favorable. But your attitude of service will be an attitude that is favorable. Favorable to God, and that's all that really matters. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, and in verse 14, it says this. Ye are the light of the world. How about that? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You understand that, right? It's all lit up. You can't hide it. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's our life. That's where service will lead us. Service to God. You know, we do things for people, but that's for God. I do it for God. You guys get blessed, but I do it for God. All right? And I think all of us are that way. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. What does this one have to do with service? Well, what is it that we're going to serve? Dr. Worrell taught us that if you're going to serve something, you have to have something to serve. Well, there's nothing in our personalities, trust me, that is worth bringing to the world. But the word is, and that's what we serve. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, people come and go, things and interests and World Series teams. You know, everybody, it's funny, everybody up here talking about the political things that happen. I'm more concerned about the sports thing. I'm thinking baseball. He's talking politics. I'm thinking baseball. Those things are cool, but they're really irrelevant, aren't they? Yeah. What really matters is God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and you guys all know this verse, but I'll read it, I think, if I find it. 2 Timothy 2:15, you know this one, remember it? Study. That word study is the word spoudazo, and it means to make a diligent effort considering the brevity of time. We have to take care of this right now. Right now. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As we rightly divide that word of truth, we have something to serve. We have something to talk to people about. We have something to help people with. You know, these guys who run these political things, they're not going to help you. They're really not. What's really going to help you is God and his word. You'll have all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. You'll have those that information you need to minister to other people. You'll have information that will help people to eliminate fear from their lives. What? That's our life. That's what we get to do. That's service. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy. Here's something that you need to know about God, because we are here to minister to people in for God. We're ambassadors for Christ, right? We're here to help people with the great realities of God, His Word, the truth, the promise of eternal life, improving the structure of their life, their family, their very being, the essence of their existence. We can make an impact on the way people's lives develop. God would have here, it says in chapter 2, verse 4. It's in 1 Timothy, I said, right? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who would have all men, who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. This is God's will. But you know, there's a poem somewhere or something that says, God really has no hands but our hands, right? He has no feet but our feet. We're the people that are here now. We are the ones who will impact the world with the word. Without you doing it, that's one less person we have in the fight. So we endeavor to look for those people who are willing to serve God's word with authority, with understanding, with believing, and with conviction. That's service. It's all about God's word. It's all about God's word. And when we're ready to stand in the gap, then God's word moves. And if we back off, then God's word lays dormant. That's your call. Because God loves you anyway. You heard all that Dean said, right? God loves you anyway. That's a done deal. That's not going away. Look at, I have to tell you this, just because I worked it into the teaching. You know, Bob Dylan said you have to serve somebody, right? And if you think about that, it's true, right? You're always doing something. You're serving somebody. It's either in your job, or it's in your family, or you're the little league coach, or whatever you are. You're somebody. You're serving somebody. It could be God, or it could be the devil, because everything that's in the world is separate from God. Is it? It's not God. Listen, the adversary is the Lord of this world. You all know that. So the things that are in the world are structured around that error in understanding. We have God's true word. So when we are in the midst of an opportunity to serve people, we serve them the bread of life. That is the first-rate cause, and everything else, second-rate. Could be good, could be nice, could be like an ambulance corps driver, right? That would be cool. But it's not going to give anybody eternal life. It'll give them breath life for another few years, though, but that's good, right? But the bread of life, man, eternal life, the stuff that Dean talked about, that's what we want to bring to the people. That's service. And you know what? Sometimes that kind of service requires some sacrifice, right? It takes energy, man. It takes believing. It takes prayer. It takes conviction. It takes concern and regard for you to be service-minded. And it's important for you to know that God would have you to be that way. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Wait a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, you practice this teaching and it's done in 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden you're like, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. We're free. Jesus Christ has set us free. We've been set free from the captivity of sin, guilt, condemnation, all the rest, right? You are righteous now, remember that? But the decision to be a servant is a choice, and you get to make that choice. But if you will take that responsibility, you will help in the movement of God's word over the world and the continuance of the word in our day and time. And that's what you need to choose to do if you want to, because the word has to move now. Those little people in the back, they get it in another 20 years. But for right now, it's us. So we want this word to continue to go. We serve, we minister, we help, we pray, we heal, because we've got 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit, right? Yes, it is right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And you know what? God is really smart. He, first of all, got us out of all the mess that we were in so that we could be functional to his purpose. Now we're functional. Now we got Holy Spirit. We got 9 manifestations. Now we could do stuff to help with the continuance of the word. And then he set us up in a body. That's the pattern of who we are, right? We're one body in Christ, and we each have features in our life that are important to the continuance of God's word, right? So, you know, look at this. Well, let the word speak for this. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Okay, so we know that this section has to do with spiritual matters, and that's a good thing. Because we have to be able to separate spiritual information from physical, carnal information. We're believers. We understand the great reality of God's word. So we want to bring a mind to the word that's spiritual. And we want to take the spiritual energy and activity of God's word to the world. And that will require service. That will require for you to put yourself in situations that are sometimes uncomfortable. You know, oh well, sometimes, you know, it's going to be an opportunity to speak God's word. Other times it's going to be to get here early in the morning and set up a room, you know, or to clean a bathroom or to do ushering or to help in your fellowship or to get there early because your fellowship coordinator's not feeling well or whatever the circumstance may be. There's a million circumstances. I can't really navigate here to define each one for you. But there's a sense of understanding and a sense of service. We need each other to get this work done. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 now. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. That's the body of Christ. That's you and I. That's us. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have all been made to drink into that one Spirit. What a unique concept. Nobody's better than anybody else. What about the guys that are way up on the top who make all the decisions? They're the greatest servants. That's so cool because God has organized it that way, that we're all in this together. We all seek to help. We look for opportunities to serve, to give, to love, to minister, to heal. That's our call. That's who we are. Where did I get to? Verse 13. For by one Spirit we're all baptized. For the body is not one member, but many. Now this is a comparison between the body of Christ, you guys here, and the physical body. So this is an analogy that God set up. So this must be significant, right? Because when the body's working right, when you're not sick, things are going on that you're not even thinking of, but things are getting taken care of, aren't they? You're getting to work. You're getting things done. You're digesting food. All this is going on at the same time, right? Your eyes are seeing, hearing. Everything's functioning, right? Similarly, in the body of Christ. The difference is that in the body of Christ, we rely on the individual members to make a choice. They have to choose to serve. They have to choose to function with that special, unique talent and ability that they have. They have to choose to bring it to the church. In the physical body, that's not so, right? The body just functions. It just goes. It's automatic. Everything's going, right? You're eating. You're reading. You're eating. You're not thinking about what's happening. The body's not making a decision here. It's just happening. In our body, we have to make decisions. You're obligated to make choices. God made his choice. He called you from before the foundations of the world. He gave his Spirit to you. He enabled you to operate 9 manifestations. He made you an ambassador. He made you the light of the world. All these things God just did. And he's really saying, do what you want. But what Paul said was, I'll serve. And that's what we want to get to the place too. That's my encouragement anyway. is that we all get to the place, each and every one of us, not just the fellowship coordinators, all of us. We get to the place where we say, here am I, send me. I'll do it. I don't mind. I could do that. Oh, you mean to tell me it's going to take me 8 hours and I might get mud in my boots? Oh, well. You do it. Who cares? Because it's a privilege for you to be able to function in the body of Christ and to minister and serve, whether it means cleaning a bathroom or whether it means being the guy who's standing up in front of everybody heralding God's word. It's all the same, really, to God. It's the heart of service. It's the attitude of service. Verse 18. So, but now hath God set members, every one of them body, as pleased him. And that's an interesting thing. Whatever you're good at, God called you to the body because he knew you were good at that, and because he knew you would believe, and because it pleased him. And now you could take that talent or ability and minister it in the church. And that church is going to be a better place for the rest of your friends. It's all good. Like Dean talked about good, right? It's all good. God set us up to be good and to do good works. Remember Ephesians? Good works. This is a good work. Service to the church. You know, there's a lot of important things going on. I know about it. Little League Baseball, you know, my job, escort at the dances. I know all of it, man. I've done it all. This makes a difference in a person's life. The Word of God helps people to live and get to the place of eternal life. Wow. You know, I mean, I'm trying to think about going on vacations and stuff, and then I think about heaven. And I think about, wow, God has got this beautiful plan for me. And the more I serve, and we'll just look at that for one quick second later, the more we serve, the more we give, God's got you. There's rewards in all of this, too. It's not that you do it for the rewards, but it's really nice to know that they're there, right? It's really nice to know that. Let's go to, let me see, I have verse 27 written down here, not sure why. Oh, we can leave that out. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, this is the theme verse, by the way, for this day in the Word. 5:13, and in the B section. Oh, that's 3:13. I was reading, cursed is every man that hang. I'm like, what happened there? 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Do you get that? I get that. I've done that. Right? Where you think like, hey, it's grace, man, I'm cool. And then you could add whatever you want. I'm not telling you what I add. But the word says use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh. But instead of using liberty, that's but. You remember but, right? Sets in contrast. You know all that. But instead, by love, serve one another. Serve. That's like God's telling you what to do, isn't he? That's your father saying, by love, serve one another. And you say, you know what? He's always telling me to do something, right? You used to do that when you were 12, go out. And he always wants me to do something else. We don't do that to God, right? Because God doesn't really ask that much of us. But he does say, by love, serve one another. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. You know, part of this thing, the sharing, is the fact that we have Holy Spirit. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are as he is, fellow laborers with God and with Jesus Christ. This privilege that we have in our time is incredible. I know, you know, so these baseball players, you guys know baseball? So these baseball players just won this incredible, incredible trophy. They carry them around with them all the time. And what an honor. And everywhere they go, you know, it's been so long since the city of Chicago's ever won this. And what an honor. What an awesome honor. And these guys are bigger than life now, you know. They go to Disney World and everybody's pointing at them because they're the heroes of the day. They pale in comparison to who you are. There is no comparison because we are the sons of God. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are ministers of reconciliation. We are those servants that God needs to take the word over the world. It's awesome. What a privilege. Ephesians 5, did I say that? Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Followers of God, imitators, right? And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. There's your instructions. That's the way you serve. Be like Christ. That's not too big of an... We can do that. Of course you could do it because it's Christ in you. Yes, you can do it because God made you qualified because you have that ability to make a difference in this day and time. Imitators of God. We don't have to die for God because Jesus Christ did that. Thank you. But we get to stand and serve and minister and care for and provide the greatness of God's word as we study to show ourselves approved unto God. As workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 John chapter 3. You know, Jesus Christ was the greatest servant, wasn't he? You all know that. He was a great, great, great man, awesome. Son of God, always did the Father's will, perfect in his walk. Oh, my God. But he was a servant. The whole Gospel of Mark is about his being a servant. And here we get to be servants for God in the same way. In the same way. Because we have the same spirit. We are as he is. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Wow. Not in the physical way, but we give to the end that we use our lives to help and serve and minister, to take care of people. You could do that. It's really not that hard. You know, bring some cookies to a fellowship. Boom. Service. Volunteer to come up here and clean up the place before we all get started. Boom. Service. What else you want? Walk around smiling at people, tell them where to sit. Service. It's not that hard. It's just a simple choice. It's just, let me help. I want to help because I want the word to go over the world. I want people to know about God. What can I do? How can I help? All that help stuff. Service. That's what service is. This is a service industry. This is what we do. We help people. That's what we do. It's cool, isn't it? Thankfully, Jesus Christ is the one who laid down his life, because I don't know if I would have been able to muster that or even encourage you to do that. Not in any honesty. But since it's already been done, thank you, I could do this now. I could say, take what you have been given. And give, serve, help, minister. John chapter 13. The idea here is that we look at Jesus Christ a little bit in his service ministry. Did you ever wash anybody's feet? I'm sure that's not a pleasant job. I never did that. I don't think I'm going to either. But I think it's cool that Jesus Christ did it. John 13:13. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. You know, God is very good to us because he's always thinking of the end result. When we follow his word, we get good results in our life. We serve, we're going to be happy about it. It's going to make you happy. Little, like, you know, happy thing going on inside. And that's cool because don't we all want to be happy? Isn't, like, happy part of the reason that we live our life? Like, don't you make a lot of money so you could be happy? Isn't happy what it's about? God says if you do this, if you serve, you're happy. So why not give him a shot? Why not follow his advice and see if that works before you rule it out? Just try it to see if you might like it. It's kind of cool in a way. So that's that one. Jesus Christ teaching his disciples to be servants. Okay, now on a more serious note, then, you know, this responsibility to wash the feet. Now, this is Jesus Christ. He's the master, right? And he's washing the feet of the disciples. But, you know, that job was really reserved for the lowest servant. But what he did was to show them that, look it, we're all in this together. I'll wash your feet. You scratch my back. Somebody else will scratch yours. We'll get the work done. But if we don't stand up and get involved, the work is not going to get done. Or if it gets done, this word's for you, Maria, it's going to be shoddy. In other words, you know about Maria and words? It's going to be shoddy. In other words, it's not going to be the best because now I got to do, I have one function in the body. I'm particularly good at something. I don't know what it is. I do. Actually, I do know, but I'm particularly good at something. Eric's particularly good at something else. And Steve's, well, no, I'm only kidding. Just kidding. Kidding, kidding, kidding. So anyway, sorry, bro. Anyway, no, we're all good at something, right? So if I have to do what I do the best and then Eric drops out, well, then I have to do the best that I could do with what I do. And then I have to try to do the best at what he does and what Steve does. No, Steve is, you know what a great man he is. But the point is that we get to have some fun with this thing. It's not all always about chapter and verse and seriousness. We're in this thing to live life, to move God's word, to minister, to help, to heal, to solve. You know, we've got the word and we bring it to each other and we help each other with our personality, with our ability. John chapter 21. So, again, what a privilege we have to be who we are, to have what we have, and then to be called upon by God Almighty to be servants for his good. John 21. You know, Peter was a fisherman by trade. You know that, right? And here in John 21, after the death of Jesus Christ and all the speculation about what might have happened, after these things, Jesus showed himself again unto the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael out of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing, man. I don't know what happened to this Jesus Christ guy. I don't know what happened to the church that we put together and all that we had in our vision, but it doesn't look good right now. I'm just going back to what I do. And I'll tell you what, honestly, I've seen people go back to what they do. It's really not good. It's not good for the church. It's not good for the individual. It's not the best. Look what happened to Peter here. He's a fisherman. They went fishing. We go with thee. His friends came with him. And there's another good point. You don't know when you walk away from God or you turn aside from God, you don't know if people are going to follow you in that perverted direction, in the stupidity of your ways. You stand for God. And you don't ever let anybody talk you out of God's word. And you minister that word of God. And you serve the bread of life. And you take care of the fellowships. That's what we do. That's why this thing is alive in New Jersey for as long as it is, and I'm old enough to tell you it's been alive here a long time. But let me tell you, man, it's our privilege to have what we have. And so we need to take care of it. And you need to help individually and collectively. But that's a side note. No, nothing extra. He said, I'm going fishing, and his friends went with him. And they went forth into a ship, but they didn't catch anything. They're fishermen. They're professionals, but they didn't catch anything. You know, when you walk away from the Word, when you walk away from your responsibility from God, and you're totally relying on yourself, good luck. Enjoy that. Because this is all that matters. Chicago Cubs winning the World Series, that's significant. But you know what? When Jesus Christ comes back, that's not going to be weighed in the balance, is it? But what you do will be. You will make a difference. And God will remember. We're getting there. It's not that much. It's just one verse, so don't worry. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples knew it, that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said, come on. Well, you know what? Bottom line here is, I don't really know. Wait a minute. 2:27. Okay. Okay, so the bottom line here is that these guys returned to their earthly business, and Jesus Christ in his resurrected body was going to take care of them. Even though they walked away for a period of time, he still had enough faith in them and enough love for them that he wanted to call them back and say, come on, man, we need to get things together here. So in verse 9, he says, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish lay thereon and bread. They went out fishing. Jesus Christ is on the shore. Jesus Christ in his resurrected body is preparing for them a meal. How's that for service? How's that for love? How is that for ministering to the need of your friends? How is that for an example? Bring the fish which you've caught. And, you know, they only caught fish because Jesus Christ told them, put the net on the right side, and the fish came in a multitude, and now they had fish. Before, they had no fish, right? Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet the net didn't break. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples dare to ask him who thou art, knowing that it was the Lord. And then verse 15, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, you know I love thee. He said, feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said, feed my sheep. He said unto them the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. You know, Jesus Christ exemplified service. He cared for these guys. He fed them. And then he called on Simon and said, because Simon's a leader. And we all know who the leaders are, don't we? Because leaders stand forward. That's what they do. Somehow or another, they just stand forward. I'll do it. And he called upon Peter and he said, take care of this church for me, please. And he did it by setting the example. He served them. He challenged Peter to take the responsibility to feed his entire flock. The instructions were complete. If you love me, then you'll do this. There's work to be done, so someone has to do it. This is a service industry, and if you choose to be part of it, God is going to be right there with you. You know, we saw in 1 Corinthians in the beginning of the teaching, chapter 3, I think it was verse 9, that we're fellow laborers together with God. Think about, some of the things that God says, they don't always really strike me, but today, or sometimes it does, right? A fellow laborer with God? What kind of privilege is that? What is that? That we should be fellow laborers with God Almighty. You heard all the things Dean said about God? We're fellow laborers with him. What is that? We're sons of God, joint heirs with Christ. What is that? We have eternal life. What? What did you ever do to deserve that? But now you're capable because what did you do? Oh, yeah, this is what you did. You believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that God raised. That's what you did. That's what you did. You say, okay, I read enough. I'll take that. And then God made you his son. Wow. And now you have the privilege to help other people get to that place. What a God. Look at Philippians chapter 2. What a time to be alive. What a privilege we have to serve. You know, this thing that you sit here, we all sit here and enjoy, it takes work, man. Somebody's got to set the chairs up. Somebody's got to clean the bathrooms if the bathrooms need cleaning. Somebody's got to vacuum the floors. Somebody's got to take care of those children who we all have. That's all got to be taken care of. We need people to do that. We don't have enough. There's not enough people standing in the gap, ministering service. We need to serve. And you could choose to do it or not do it. It doesn't matter because it's going to get done. But the difference is the quality of what we'll be able to provide, right? We're always seeking to serve the Word of God, and we do it to the best of our ability on a silver platter. The more people we have involved, the more people who are engaged, the greater that service. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, is there?
Yes.
If any comfort of love, is there?
Yes.
If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, any mercy going on right here? Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I'm really not. Because I don't really care about that. I don't care if Steve sees me fix the chair. I don't care. If he does and he says, hey, I appreciate you fixing that chair. Thank you. That's cool. We don't need people's awareness of what we do. We do it for love's sake. No vainglory, lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. When I'm in your company, you are what I attend to. I see you bigger than me because I want to love you. I want to minister to you. I want to take care of you. I want those 10 seconds we spend together to have meaning. Not because I want you to leave here and think what a great guy I am, but because I want you to take the heart of God out of this room with you. Let not every man look on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What a privilege. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He made himself of no reputation. Did Jesus Christ have a right to make a reputation for himself? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed thousands of people at one time. Could he have said, I'm Jesus Christ? Yes, but he didn't do that. Matter of fact, a lot of times he healed people, so don't tell anybody I did that. Right? All because of what God would have him to do and according to the way God wanted it handled. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and that's what I'm talking to you about. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself. Tremendous humility and service. I'll do it. I don't care. I don't care if it's a bathroom to be clean. Let's clean it. Let's get it done. And you know why? Because the word's got to be the best for the people who are hearing it. When you go to the bathroom from here, we don't want you thinking and stinking, and we want you to have a blessed disposition. Went to the bathroom nice, came out nice, the word was nice. That's what we want for you. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. You know, this is our Lord and Savior. You have to acknowledge that in your heart. On the other hand, you are as he is. And you could take what has been placed in your life to the streets. You could minister God's word. You could help here. You could help in your fellowship. You can minister God's word. Verse 13, for it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, it's been my heart here today to talk a little bit about service and to encourage you to choose to serve. We need people standing in the gap. There are many activities that we need help with. We need physical help. We need spiritual help. We need all that is involved with taking care of hundreds of people, whatever that is. And whoever you are, whatever's within the frame of your being to be able to contribute to that end, then I call upon you from God's heart to serve, to minister that service. And if you don't want to, so what? We love you. God loves you. Fine. But you can take care of that. And if you choose to, if you do, Hebrews chapter 6. This is the one verse I was talking about. There's others, but I'll just give you one. Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God will take care of you. God will reward you. Look to your Father God. Thank you.